High visibility gear is expensive, like weirdly expensive, for something that's supposed to just make you look like a human traffic cone. So the question is simple. Is it actually worth it? Because if you listen to the marketing, and let's be honest, even other writers, you'd think throwing on a neon jacket is basically a force field. But when you watch Craig Ripley's Living Off the Slab video from March 2026, does high-vis gear actually keep you safe? He says something that makes people uncomfortable.
High-vis gear, or what we think of as high-vis gear, doesn't really give us all the protection that we want to associate with it.
Yeah, that line right there, that's the crack in the whole system. Because what he's saying is, visibility doesn't equal safety. And that's where most riders stop thinking. We assume if they can see us, they'll react to us. Therefore, we're safer. But that assumption skips a critical step, recognition. Because it's not just about visibility, it's about something way deeper. You're not being ignored because you're hard to see. You're being ignored because the human brain doesn't think you matter. Welcome along for another hangout, everyone. In our hangouts, we discuss stories from the saddle, motorcycling experiences, and biker-related topics.
Let's get to it.
If you're new here, welcome. The algorithm didn't just drop you in by accident. Around here, we don't just ride, we unpack what it all means. Craig did what most people don't. He actually looked at data. And that data is messy. Some studies suggest high-vis helps. Others show little to no real-world impact. And even when people do see you, they still pull out in front of you. Which is the part nobody wants to talk about because it breaks the illusion. We want safety to be passive. We want to buy it, wear it, and forget about it. But Craig lands on this conclusion.
And that's where your job comes in, right? You need to look out for those people, not by using high vis and lights and helmets, but by how you ride your motorcycle, right? The following distance, right, that you give, right, the speed which you go through intersections. Do you slow down? Do you cover the brakes? Do you weave a little bit to make sure that people can see you? All of those things, those are what are really going to make a difference in keeping you safe. The things that you do, not passive measures.
And again, he's right. But here's the gap. Why doesn't visibility always translate into safety? Why can someone look right at you and still not register you? Because visibility is only one step. Recognition is step two, and reaction is step three. And most riders are stuck at step one.
Right, just because people can see you doesn't mean that they're not going to still do stupid things.
Or, and this is where I'm going to push this further, it doesn't mean they're actually processing you at all. I've had this happen to me more times than I can count. Bright vest, lights on, driver pulls up, looks directly at me, and then just goes, like I'm not even there. And you have that moment, that split second where you realize they saw me, but they didn't process me. But here's where it gets interesting. When I swapped out my high-vis kit for a more traditional biker look, dark gear, structured silhouette, patch cut, I started noticing something very different. Drivers hesitated more. They gave space. They seemed aware. Not always, not perfectly, but enough to make you pause and go, what changed? Because it wasn't visibility. If anything, I was less visible. That's not a visibility problem. That's a perception problem.
And there were a few people that actually claimed that since they went high vis, nobody has pulled out in front of them. And yeah, well, I sure don't believe that.
Yeah, I don't buy that either. But here's where it gets interesting, because even the studies don't fully agree. You've got some showing reduced crash risk, others showing little to no behavioral change from drivers, which should tell you something important. We're measuring the wrong variable. We keep asking, can drivers see motorcycles? Instead of asking, does the brain care? Because the brain is filtering everything constantly. It's not looking for your brightly colored jacket. It's looking for threat, movement, relevance, consequence.
However, with all of that stuff that I have and that I use, do people still pull out in front of me? Yeah. There are just people who don't care, or people who aren't paying attention. They're just gonna do whatever they wanna do. They get in their zone, and that's what they're gonna worry about, only where they have to go, and they don't care about anybody else.
Or they're not even making a decision. They're just not triggered to react. And here's an idea. I'm going to frame this as a hypothesis, not gospel. The human brain doesn't prioritize brightness. It prioritizes threat. Your brain is constantly filtering information, thousands of visual inputs per second, and it has one job. What do I need to react to right now? Not what's visible, not what's colorful, what's important, what's dangerous, what could hurt me. This is called threat detection, and it happens fast, faster than conscious thought. There's a part of your brain, the amygdala, that processes fear and threat before reasoning, and it doesn't wait for logic. It doesn't sit there like, that's a brightly colored motorcyclist. Should I yield? I think I should yield. No. That's why when something jumps out at you, you flinch before you understand what it is. That's not thinking. That's survival wiring. It reacts to patterns, contrast, movement, shape, behavior. Things that historically meant pay attention or something bad happens. That reaction happens before you think. That's the system we're dealing with on the road. So the real question becomes, does your presence on the road trigger that system or not? Thanks to you frequent viewers, whether you're a silent type always in the comments or already subscribed, just know I notice. This isn't just a channel. It feels like something more because of you. And I don't take that lightly. Thanks. If you've seen my predator cloaking video, this is where it connects. Because invisibility isn't about not being seen. It's about not being recognized as important. And right now, a lot of riders are relying on color alone to solve a recognition problem. Look at nature. Poison dart frogs. They're not just colorful. They're recognized as dangerous. Predators don't avoid them because they're pretty and brightly colored. They avoid them because those colors mean if you touch this, you regret it. Same with wasps and hornets. High contrast striping. Skunks. Bold black and white warning pattern. Even snakes with banding patterns. High contrast warning patterns across nature. This is called aposematic signaling. Warning through recognition, not just visibility. Now, compare that to a motorcyclist in neon yellow. What does that signal? Construction worker, cyclist, something slow, something harmless, something ignorable. Let's be honest. Traffic barrels are bright. Extremely visible. Do you react to them with urgency? No. Do you slow down because you're afraid of them? No. You avoid them, but you don't respect them. They don't trigger caution. They don't trigger consequence because they don't represent a threat. They don't demand attention. That might be the problem. That might be exactly how drivers process high-vis riders. Now, this is where things get interesting. Going back to when I switched away from high-vis and into a more traditional rider look, structure, darker colors, more aggressive silhouette. I noticed something. The drivers hesitated. They gave me space. They seemed more aware. Not perfect, but different. Old school riders, board track racers, flat track guys, they wore patterns, stripes, checkers, buffalo plaid, high contrast. Not because it looked cool, but because it broke up their outline, made them stand out against motion and background. That's not just visibility, that's visual disruption. And maybe, unintentionally, they were tapping into the same system that makes us notice danger. Now, I'm not saying dress scary and you're safe. That's not the point. The point is, something about how you're perceived matters. And this is where I think some modern gear is starting to get it right. Not just bright, but intentional, design that actually considers how humans see. Tobacco motorwear is a good example of this. They're pulling from that retro aesthetic, but combining it with modern protection, abrasion resistance, impact armor, gear that doesn't just look different, it feels different on the road. And I think that matters more than we've been willing to admit. They're blending classic design language and gear that doesn't make you look like a construction cone. It actually gives you presence and gets you noticed.
Yo, it's Dave with Tobacco Motorwear. TobaccoMotorwear.com, at Tobacco Motorwear Co. on Instagram. Hey, so I've been designing and making motorcycle gear for now coming up on 12 years. And like, I'm known for putting protective elements in jackets and pants. Like, I'm wearing, you wouldn't guess, but I'm wearing Kevlar line motorcycle pants, but they look good on a bagger or on any kind of bike that you would ride, because it just looks like clothes you probably wear off the bike. And that's kind of the secret. And, you know, some of our stuff is really subdued. It's got kind of the flash liner, but it's got the Kevlar, it's got pockets for armor, and then some stuff.
So what inspires this this design?
I saw the fabric first, and I was like, that's so cool. I want to do a jacket in that, or at least sleeves in that. So we have the version that just has the sleeves. But then I was like, that's old school high-vis. Stripes come from prison, but also...
But high-vis is the point.
Yeah, the point was you're going to spot them, and a lot of old board track racers use like striped sleeves so other riders would kind of see where they were at and they could kind of just stay a little safer. So we call this the Bandito, because it kind of has both those sentiments. It's kind of a little racing and a little outlaw. But like, that's kind of how I work. If I see a denim, so like a lot of our USA made denim we've done in selvage, just really good quality fabrics. And we've done that because I'll see something like this vest, for example, is really, somebody made this Kevlar lined, or sorry, not Kevlar lined, Kevlar woven selvage denim.
Yeah, but you can see the Kevlar.
You can see it coming
through
right?
On the outside, yeah.
And so like, I just thought that was so cool, but you feel it, it's like you wouldn't wear that as pants, my gosh.
Oh, no, that's
so heavy.
That's like a buffalo hide.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was like, but I want to make something with it. I don't want it to go to waste. And so I'll find a cool fabric and I'll be like, I want to make something like this. But I get inspired by workwear, old military kind of styles, you know. And that's just what I like to wear. And I was riding before, you know, in like just a brain bucket and like normal jeans. I had a close call and decided like, I should probably take care of myself. I like doing this enough that if I got hurt, I'd want to be able to get back on as soon as I could. And then as I started making it, I was like, you know, I think other people probably feel the same way.
Oh yeah.
And so that was over a decade ago, coming up on 12 years ago, and we were in LA for a long time. And then during COVID, LA really locked things down, and I moved my family back here to Utah.
I got it.
Just kept rolling and meeting good people around here, and it's a smaller bike scene, but there's a lot of passion. So, and a beautiful ride, some of the best.
Oh yeah, yeah, the best there are right here.
So yeah, man.
So putting pads and things in this.
Yeah,
this has got spine protector coming on. This is Velcro, right?
So Velcro opening to put in a spine protector. You got pads for shoulder armor, but if you don't like the bulk of
they just
of
come
armor,
right out.
That comes out. You also got hidden pockets for elbow armor in there. And the same thing with a lot of the pants. It's like there's a pocket inside for hip armor. There's an opening right here. It's pretty low profile for your knee armor to go in there. And then even our shoes, these are a new design, but inspired by like Converse to kind of give that finish out that look. And even our stuff, like these are our sweat tees. This isn't a blank that somebody makes and I'm just going to put my name on it.
Yeah.
I have everything made for it. So you know, I just take a lot of, I care about how things feel. I care about the quality of it. And that's why I make it that way.
Cool. Well, thanks for talking to me today.
Yeah, let's hang out, dude.
Yeah, we can.
And now let's ground this.
But the biggest thing that I'm going to keep doing is I'm going to keep writing as though I have none of that stuff. I'm going to keep writing and assuming that nobody sees me. Because that defensive writing, those techniques that I use, those are what are really going to keep me safer.
And that's the part everyone should agree on. 100% no argument. There is data supporting visibility. White helmets link to lower crash risk. Daytime running lights improve detection. Some studies show reduced injury rates with reflective gear. But even those studies have limitations. Self-selection bias, older data, changing traffic environments. So here's the honest answer. Visibility helps. But it's not enough, because being visible is not the same as being seen and noticed. So what's the deal with Hi-Viz? It's not useless, but it's not magic. And if you rely on it alone, you're solving the wrong problem. Because the real game isn't visibility, it's perception, it's recognition. It's triggering that part of the human brain that says, pay attention, this matters. So yeah, wear the brightly colored gear if you want. Use lights, use contrast, but ride like none of it works. And maybe start thinking less about, can they see me? And more about, do they think I matter? If you want to go deeper into this idea, I broke it down in another video. Why are bikers invisible? The predator cloaking phenomenon. That's where this whole concept really starts to take shape. If you'd like to understand what causes invisibility on the road, stick around and hang out a while longer by clicking this video. If you'd rather get out there on the road, this video is for you. Check those videos out, and as always, ride like you're invisible, but think like you're not.